the Rogue Ghost, Episode 12. There, in the heart of the glade, stood the statue of the Henry sisters, a testament to unity and a relic of a story woven deeply into the fabric of Montreal's history. Marie, Claire, and Sophie, captured in bronze, standing united, side by side in a vigilant stance, each holding a brass key, their faces serene yet resolute, as if they were guardians of secrets long forgotten. The sight of the statue, bathed in the soft light of dusk, was a moment frozen in time, a bridge between the past and our present odyssey. It was as if the Henry sisters themselves were guiding us, their legacy a beacon in our search for the third puzzle box. Greetings, and welcome back to our shared journey through the veils of the unknown. Runeweaver and I bid you welcome to another chapter of our extraordinary saga. This episode finds us plunging further into the labyrinthine quest for the third puzzle box, a journey that has drawn us from the cobblestone whispers of Montreal to the shadowed secrets beneath the looming expanse of Mount Royal Park. Together, let us tread the delicate line between the known and the mystical as we unravel the tightly coiled mysteries that beckon us forward, their voices a siren song laced with the promise of revelation and the peril of the unforeseen.
Fresh off the heels of our syndicate showdown in Montreal, you'd think we'd hit pause, maybe even enjoy a little downtime. But nope, in this high-stakes treasure hunt, there's no hitting snooze, well, not just yet, especially with puzzle box number 3 whispering sweet nothings beckoning us deeper into the fray. So, there I was, thinking the Odyssey Seekers website had ghosted us for good, when bam, it lit up my screen like a beacon in the cyber void. Talk about making a comeback, this site sprang back to life with all the subtlety of a firework display, flaunting a brand new post that practically had my hair standing on end. It was a cryptic shout-out to an iconic church in Montreal, wrapped up in an image that was more than meets the eye. Yes, you guessed it, the image was the Notre Dame Basilica. But hold on to your hats, this baby had the unmistakable signs of steganography, hiding not one, but two symbols. The first, an eye, clearly guiding syndicate agents to Montreal, and the second, a door icon, hinting at the shadow gate lurking outside the church. And there, beneath this image, lay a single reply, a lone compass emoji. A not-so-subtle directive that the scribbler had done his job, pinning RG and yours truly, to a new set of reperios. This was the syndicate's way of saying, gotcha. It was a digital mic drop, revealing they had our escapades in Montreal on lockdown. Picture this, RG and I hunkered down in the flickering shadows of our watermill lair, the air thick with the scent of mystery and old stone. As I leaned back against the worn wood, a spark of mischief danced in my eyes. A brainwave had struck, not just any idea, but one laced with a hint of roguish charm. Why not shake things up? Let's swap out our elderly alter egos for a pair of vibrant young Canadian women. RG's reaction was priceless, a picture-perfect blend of surprise and intrigue, as if my suggestion had short-circuited his spy sensibilities. Amusement was clear in his voice as he entertained the notion with a raised eyebrow and a slowly spreading smile. I couldn't contain my glee, the prospect of RG exploring his feminine side was too tantalizing an opportunity to miss. We were about to become two intrepid Canadian hipsters, blending seamlessly into the fabric of Montreal. Diving into the digital depths, we embarked on a mission, trawling through the cyber sea of social media for our perfect alter egos. My finger paused on the profile of a Canadian travel blogger, her feet a vibrant tapestry of adventure and wanderlust, an ideal match for my guys. With a nod of agreement from RG, we continued our digital hunt for his new makeover, delving further into the realm of hashtags and high-res images. His curiosity piqued, he leaned in, scanning the profiles with an investigator's eye, until we stumbled upon the perfect persona, a spirited adventurer, her online presence radiating the thrill of exploration. As we keyed our chosen identities into the hacked shimmer rings, albeit with enough variation to distinguish us from the originals, the air crackled with a blend of excitement and solidarity. This was more than just a strategic play, it was a testament to our journey together through the enigmatic dance of light and shadow. Testing the transformation was nothing short of magical, the rings casting their spell as we stepped into our new skins. I burst into laughter at the sight of RG, his new form a mix of grace and awkward charm. Quite the looker, I teased, watching as he adapted to his role with a blend of elegance and slight clumsiness. Dressed in an ensemble from my own wardrobe, he embodied the part with an unexpected flair. Our laughter filled the room, a moment of light-hearted relief amidst the gravity of our quest. There we were, ready to take on Montreal not just as allies, but as two friends sharing in the excitement of the chase and the joy of the unexpected. Our laughter was a beacon in the night, a reminder of the light we carried within us, even in the darkest of times.
Adopting a disguise had always been a part of my repertoire, a necessary skill in the life of a spectrous ghost, and more so since going on the run from them. Yet, as Runeweaver suggested our transformation into Canadian women, I found myself venturing into uncharted territory. The proposition was intriguing, albeit slightly outside my usual comfort zone. However, the opportunity to further obscure our trail from the Cerberus Syndicate was too advantageous to dismiss. Transforming into our chosen personas required more than just a magical adjustment, it demanded a mental shift, an embrace of characteristics and mannerisms foreign to my own. As we activated the shimmer rings, I felt the magic weave its spell, not just altering our appearances but imbuing us with the essence of our chosen identities. This transformation, though a marvel of arcane technology, was not without its echoes of vulnerability. The shimmer rings, those hacked jewels of illusion we had come to rely on, sang with a magic that was both our shield and our Achilles' heel. Their magic, a borrowed cloak of anonymity, was not infinite. That realization weighed heavily upon me, a reminder of the precipice on which we balanced. Yet, amidst the encroaching shadows of constraint and the ticking clock of our magical subterfuge, there lay a glimmer of hope. The need for an enchanter, one whose powers could rival that of my beloved angel, loomed large. This enigmatic figure, capable of infusing our shimmer rings with renewed vigor and magic, became not just a desire but a necessity. As we prepared for another foray into the storied arteries of Montreal, this time as two Canadian women, I felt a mix of anticipation and resolve. The Syndicate had forced our hand, pushing us into new realms of disguise and strategy. Yet, in this moment of introspection, I found solace in the unwavering bond that tethered Runeweaver to me. It was a connection forged not just in the heat of battle but in the quiet moments of shared vulnerability. It was a reminder that our strength lay not just in the magic at our fingertips but in the unbreakable resolve that bound our spirits together. Unswayed by the Cerberus Syndicate's pervasive scrutiny, we recognized that our path forward demanded not just bravery, but a profound reliance on stealth and astuteness. The Syndicate's gaze, unyielding and omniscient, necessitated a strategy woven from the very essence of discretion. Thus, with our shimmer rings finely tuned and our identities obscured beneath the guise of our newly adopted personas, we embarked once more toward Montreal. This venture, however, was marked by a deliberate deviation from our prior path, a calculated maneuver designed to elude the agents we now knew lay in wait for us. Our route this time was not directly into the heart of Montreal but rather through Laval. This neighboring city offered strategic advantages in its distance from the Syndicate's expected surveillance. This choice, while seemingly indirect, was proof of our evolving strategy against an adversary that had proven both formidable and foresighted. Under the veil of anonymity, Runeweaver had adeptly secured our passage, utilizing aliases that would leave no trail back to our true selves. Our mode of transit, a train departing from Cartier Station in Laval, bound for Station Mont Royal in Montreal, was a nod to the ordinary, a deliberate blend into the rhythm of daily life. The journey itself was a brief respite, 15 minutes of normalcy amidst the chaos of our quest, passing without incident or cause for alarm. There, among the ebb and flow of city dwellers and tourists alike, we lingered only momentarily, our anticipation barely contained as we awaited the bus that would ferry us to the verdant expanse of Mont Royal Park. This leg of our journey, cloaked in the ordinary, was a chess move in our ongoing game against the Syndicate, a game of shadows and light, where every step, every choice, was imbued with the weight of our mission.
Venturing into the sprawling beauty of Mont Royal Park, with the afternoon sun casting a golden glow over everything, felt like we'd entered a living painting. The park was alive, pulsating with the energy of the afternoon, and the enchanted glasses were on high alert, buzzing with Syndicate agent alerts like a swarm of digital bees. Our new disguises seemed to weave magic of their own. There was RG, now fully embracing his role as one half of our dynamic female duo, strolling arm in arm with me past unsuspecting Syndicate agents, without so much as a second glance. It was like we were invisible, moving through the park with the ease of locals, blending seamlessly into the tapestry of the day. Our path led us deeper into the park, where nature put on a show just for us, or so it seemed. A tranquil lake sprawled before us, its surface reflecting the sunlight in a dazzling display. But as mesmerizing as the scenery was, it was merely the backdrop to our main act. There, in a quiet glade, stood the statue of the Henry sisters, Marie, Claire, and Sophie, cast in bronze and capturing a moment of unity that transcended time. A nearby plaque, a tribute from the local Catholic church, St. Agnes, honored their legacy and their ties to the community. It was this plaque that piqued my curiosity, hinting at a deeper connection to our quest than the bronze figures alone suggested. The statue, with the sisters standing side by side, keeping watch, each brandishing a brass key, seemed to whisper secrets of the past, of a journey from France to Canada that wove into the fabric of Mont Royal's history. It wasn't just a symbol of unity, but a beacon guiding us toward the next piece of our puzzle. As we conducted our investigation, the serenity of the glade enveloped us, a calming presence amid the storm of our mission. Yet, it was the church's connection to the Henry sisters that ensnared my thoughts. Could St. Agnes Church be the next link in our search for the third puzzle box? With night beginning to drape over the park, we decided to withdraw, our minds buzzing with the day's discoveries. Back at the watermill, with our high-tech arsenal at the ready, we prepared to dive into the mystery of St. Agnes Church and the Henry sisters. One notion kept bouncing around in my brain though. How awesome would it be if another Rapirio just happened to fall into our laps like last time?
Nestled within the time-worn embrace of our watermill haven, Runeweaver set her sights on unraveling the lore of St. Agnes Church. This sacred edifice, bound by history to the lives of the enigmatic Henry sisters, now beckoned as a pivotal landmark in our relentless pursuit of the third elusive puzzle box. Her approach to the digital realm was nothing short of masterful, reminiscent of a seasoned navigator charting unknown waters. With precision and grace, she summoned the ancient narratives that cloaked St. Agnes Church, each keystroke a deliberate probe into the depths of its past and the community it has steadfastly nurtured. The glow from the screens bathed her in a light that seemed to underscore her determination, a visual testament to the unwavering resolve that has become her hallmark. To us, the Henry sisters transcended their historical footnote, weaving themselves into the very essence of our quest. They stood not merely as historical figures but as vibrant threads in the intricate tapestry of St. Agnes Church's legacy, a legacy that now intersected with our own odyssey. Runeweaver's digital excavation soon bore fruit, drawing back the veils of time to reveal a story rich with devotion and communal spirit. St. Agnes Church had been more than a mere structure to Marie, Claire, and Sophie Henry, it had been their sanctuary, a beacon of hope and unity in their new life in Montreal. Within its venerable walls, they sought and found a sense of belonging, channeling their faith into acts of service that would indelibly shape the church's outreach to the surrounding community. A serendipitous find, an archived newsletter tucked away on the church's website, became a key to unlocking the past. This document, laden with accounts of the Henry sisters' dedication, painted their lives in vibrant hues, revealing their profound impact on the church and its congregation. It was within this document that Runweaver unearthed the connection to Jacques Vincent, a craftsman known for his stewardship of the church and his contributions as a stained glass artisan. He had been the force behind the commissioning of the statue to honor the Henry sisters, a tangible manifestation of their spirit and a testament to their influence within the church and beyond. This revelation, tying the Henry sisters and Jacques Vincent to the legacy of St. Agnes Church, became a critical juncture in our odyssey. The unmistakable glow emanating from the lantern on Santa Claus's Christmas card served as a confirmation of our path. The card, a constant yet mystical companion on our journey, now glimmered with renewed intent, signifying that within the sacred confines of that old church lay a clue pivotal to our search.
Buckle up, folks, because the plot is about to twist like a roller coaster on steroids. After the adrenaline-fueled days spent chasing clues for the third puzzle box, we dialed it back, craving a moment's peace, and pivoted our focus to the old watermill's facelift. Picture this: I was immersed in a project that blended the tranquility of a Zen garden with the intrigue of an archaeological expedition. The room destined to become my sanctuary, located on the upper level, called out with floorboards as time-worn and dramatic as an opera diva past her prime. This dance of restoration, a blend of delicate skill and deep respect, was a homage to the narratives ingrained within these venerable walls. As I coaxed the aged planks from their slumber, the air became thick with the scent of history and a whisper of river mist, as if the building itself sighed in contentment. It was in this moment of peaceful toil that my fingertips brushed against something smooth, a defiant presence amidst the texture of time and timber. Guided by a spark of curiosity, I drew closer, my gaze sharpening on the mysterious find. Hiding under the floorboards in a cobwebbed crevice was a Polaroid photo, its edges worn, its palette muted yet still singing a story of the past. The discovery sent a jolt through me, a shock that resonated to my very core. Captured within this photo was an enchanter, a figure of formidable power, their aura of radiance immortalized, their eyes ablaze with a magic that defied the confines of the photograph. Yet, the plot thickens further. Written under the image was the word breach. This lone exclamation echoed like a thunderclap, hinting at tales of forbidden knowledge, of worlds colliding, of whispers that should never have been uttered. This wasn't merely a snapshot from another age, it was a clarion call, a harbinger of storms yet to come. And then the twist hit. Aunt Vanessa's unmistakable hand had penned that cry. Her script was as familiar to me as the back of my hand, a ghost from bedtime stories of mystery and shadow. Her familiarity with the realms of enchanters and the clandestine ballet of magic sent a shiver through me. That word on the Polaroid sounded an alarm in my thoughts. What revelations was she on the verge of exposing? Was she about to fling open the doors on the supernatural stage for the world to see? I pondered the mystery of her demise. Once a footnote in my grand adventure, it now loomed as a specter of intrigue and malice. Was it merely fate's cruel hand, or had she been silenced, a martyr to the arcane battle raging unseen all around us? And there I stood, at the precipice of a revelation, my soul split in two. On one flank, the relentless search for the puzzle boxes, a saga of intellect and perseverance. On the other, a wild hunger for the truth behind Aunt V's cryptic legacy. This newfound quest didn't just whisper, it roared, igniting a blaze within me to unearth the secrets she had dared to pursue.
Until next time, my kindred spirits, keep the flame of belief ever burning.